The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome. Nice to see you all. These cold days. Well, for us in California, it's cold. Other people in other places are, don't think it's so cold, probably. I love this time of year. It just seems like everything slows down. I guess unless you're in retail, probably that's not slowing down there, but just a lot of things kind of slow down and get a little more quiet, maybe a little more cozy in some kind of way. So I'd like to start this evening with an imagination, which may not be too much of an imagination. Maybe it's something you can relate to, or some version of this you've experienced in your own life. And that is just to imagine that you wake up in the morning and it just feels like one of those mornings, like, ugh. For whatever reason, you didn't sleep well, or maybe you're dreading things you have to do later in the day, or whatever it might be, there's this feeling, oh. And nothing giant is wrong, but maybe you're just a little cranky. I know sometimes, I don't know why, sometimes I wake up a little cranky. And maybe you go into the kitchen and then you see like, oh, there's dirty dishes in the sink. Ugh. Maybe you're the one that left the dirty dishes in the sink, or maybe somebody else did. Or maybe you never have this experience, but maybe there's some version of this that you can relate to. And then there's a way in which the mind can just quickly go, oh, gee, this again? Gee whiz, do I have to do everything? You know, there's this kind of this little bit of crankiness that starts to make this story. Here's one more thing that I have to do, or something like this, some version of this. But maybe there's a second version where you wake up and maybe there's a little sense of, like this inner growl, or this, maybe there's a little crankiness, and you go out into the kitchen and you see the dirty dishes in the sink. You're like, oh, okay, dirty dishes. And you find a cup, rinse it out if you need to, and make a cup of coffee. Cup of tea, whatever it is that you do. And there's dishes in the sink, and there's just dishes in the sink. There isn't a big story that goes with it, like, oh, why does it have to be me, or this always happens, or why couldn't it be other? It's just dishes in a sink. Pretty simple. And so this is what a big part about what practice is about, is to help notice, A, when I'm using this word cranky. There's lots of different words we could use, but when there's kind of like this mood of crankiness that shows up and it turns just a simple experience into something that's a problem, and there's all these words and stories that go around with it. And instead, there can be a way in which maybe there's crankiness, there's some aversion, some ill will, some hostility, some story making. And we can just turn it into, well, it's just like this, and let's see how this unfolds. With a sense of openness and a sense of ease. I'm not saying that the crankiness, the aversion magically goes away. I'm just saying there's a way in which it can shift, in which it can no longer maybe like color the whole rest of the morning or the whole rest of the day. That's a little bit what I want to talk about, because practice is so much about changing the inner weather, if you'll go with me with this kind of expression, this inner weather, rather than changing the outer experiences, because frankly, we don't get to control the universe. We control so much less than we think we do, and yet we're so often out there trying to change the outer experiences. And practice is about changing the inner weather, inner ecosystem, the inner stance or posture, like literally and figuratively, so that things can unfold differently. In this way, that the same situation can maybe feel like as a problem that we have to fix and somehow we're in battle with, to like, oh yeah, this is just what's happening right now. And so one way in which this happens is it's enormously helpful if we can just be aware that there is an inner attitude or a mood or stance or posture that's being experienced right now. So often we don't even notice it. We just think, oh, this is reality. This is the truth because I see it that way. So therefore it must be true. We're not questioning, or we're just assuming that our experience is the perfectly legitimate one. But we have all had this experience where we think something is terrible, and then we get one more piece of information and just all of a sudden reevaluate everything. Oh, it wasn't so terrible. It's just what it was. I've told this story a number of times, but it had a big impact on me when I was going to meet somebody for a meal that we were going to share, and this person was late. And then, you know, as I'm waiting, the story starts to build like, oh, they're always late, and it's disrespectful. Don't they know that I'm sitting here? And why does this person always do this? And next time I'm going to tell them that we're meeting 15 minutes earlier than we really are, just so that I don't have to do this. And now everybody's feeling, I don't know, just this kind of like this little bit of irritation building up. And then later hearing the reason why they were late, it's like, oh, my heart goes out to them. Oh, okay, yeah. Had absolutely nothing to do with me and some hardship that they had encountered right as they were leaving, right? And so the exact same just experience, just noticing how our inner stance just changes our experience of it. I was still waiting, and I was adding the irritation that this was years ago, but this thing that was, you know, extra and just built on itself, and then realizing, oh, it was just waiting. Now I don't mind waiting so much because, I don't know, just I can, I think people are fascinating, and it's fun to kind of just be where other people are and see what's happening. And sometimes you see like this person that's sitting here like, wow, look what's happening in the mind. Sometimes that can be interesting too. So, but meditation, part of the reason why we meditate is it like helps this quieting down of the mind and the body. There's this, it's kind of like slowing down. And then it becomes easier to see what is the attitude? What is this inner weather that's present? Sometimes we don't even see it. There's this way in which it's so easy to overlook because there's these subtle, we might even say, attitudes, but in particular, I want to point to aversions, the subtle way in which we're saying, no, no, thank you. I don't want this. Make it be different. It should be different. It's amazing how often we are kind of like resisting what's actually happening. And in some ways, this can be such a habit. There was this time when I spoke with a Dharma teacher, one that I didn't know well, but I was speaking with him, and just for a short little bit, and he said something to me that really had an impact. He said, you know, actually, we could just simplify practice to just stopping all the resistance. Just stopping all the resistance. It's amazing all the different ways that resistance shows up. And I'm not saying that we have to accept everything, be happy all the time. That's ridiculous. What I'm saying is there's a way in which we are just subtly saying no, 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 no to experience. And then We are moving through the world from this place of no, as opposed to like, oh, yeah, this is uncomfortable. Let's see what's really happening here. Instead, the mind is so often going, it shouldn't be like this. There shouldn't be dishes in the sink. I shouldn't be having this experience or something like this. So there's this way that just seeing an attitude, and I'm going to point to the attitude of aversion tonight, just helps to begin a process of change. Helps to, there's this way in which we just say, oh yeah, aversion, resistance, hostility, ill will, disappointment, frustration, all these words, I'm kind of lumping them in together. There's a way that when we just see them, oh yeah, there's some resistance here. There's some frustration here. And that moment in which we are naming it, we are not lost in it. There's a little bit of separation from it. Otherwise, we're just moving from that place, from that location, from that attitude. But if we can start to see, oh yeah, this, here's some resistance, some aversion here, then there's a way in which this knowing of this allows something else to arise, allows something else to unfold instead of just our usual reactivity. So first, knowing that there's some attitude, maybe an attitude of aversion present, and then can there be a not knowing? There's a knowing of an attitude of aversion, and then often when there is a knowing of like, oh, there's aversion here, and then I know what the next thing is going to be. This thing is going to be awful, and I'm going to be cranky all day, or I know there's a, I don't know, there's this, when we have this like inner weather of, or oh no, not this again, there's a way in which we are often predicting the next moment. Maybe it's a way to armor ourselves or shield ourselves. We're like, oh, I know how this is going to turn out. And in order to not be disappointed, we're kind of already shielding ourselves. And so part of the practice is, can we go from, oh yeah, there's some aversion here, and just allow aversion to be there and to not slap onto the next moment, and I know how this is, next thing is going to happen. But instead, can we release this overlay or this idea about what we think is going to happen, what's supposed to happen, what should happen, and instead just notice the aversion, it's here. And this allows something new to emerge, something new to unfold. Because chances are we have like a habitually meet things with aversion, and then there's this, the habit, maybe there's aversion, it has this sense of maybe some tightness or this constriction. But if we can just meet the aversion, then something different can show up without all the preconceived ideas. When we stop deciding in advance how it's going to go, then we give the moment a chance to go better. So first we recognize the attitude, and then we can experiment with a new one, with a new attitude. And I like to offer the idea of curiosity. Like, oh, how does aversion feel like? For me, I'm fine when I talk about it, I kind of go like this. I'm scrunching up, contracting, because that's how it feels. Feels like a bracing and armoring, and maybe the shoulders go up. But there's also this constriction. There's not so much of an openness or ease. So there's this way that maybe there's this sense of resentment that shows up, or hostility, or criticalness, where we're being critical of everything, or maybe this chronic complaining. Like, yeah, every day it's like this, and Now I know how it's going to go. And those people over there, if only they would behave better, or those systems, if only they were different, they should be different. Recently, as part of a larger gathering, I was talking with somebody that I don't usually talk to very often. But this person, I had kind of forgotten how they are regularly complaining about all the systems, the DMV, the park district, the highway patrol, the political leaders. Like, it was just going on and on and on. And I was like, wow, it was quite something. But I felt this, there was just this complaining about everything is wrong and it should be better. And I mean, my heart went out to this person. This is not a comfortable way to move through life. But I could also feel that other people that were in this conversation, kind of like the mood going down, and then the mood kind of like, yeah, then what about this, you know? And yeah, that reminds me of that time at the DMV when I had, or whatever. So there's this way. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there are a lot of systems that are frustrating, right? That aren't run perfectly. We're not denying that these things happen. We're just recognizing that this posture, this inner weather, this way of showing up, of this chronic complaining, is like an attitude of aversion that I imagine this person doesn't even recognize. They're thinking that, well, that's just the way it is. Those things are wrong. And while this conversation was happening, like, nothing got solved. The complaining didn't actually lead to anything helpful or healthy. It just led to this general sense of irritation and annoyance. So one of the tricky things about seeing this, we might be one of these people who finally do this, right? There's plenty of things to complain about. I used to do so much complaining. I had no idea how much until somebody started to point it out to me. You're complaining a lot, Diana. I am not complaining. You're always talking about how much complaining I'm doing. It's so funny that I started complaining about my complaining. It was just like, oh, yeah. It was really helpful for somebody to point this out to me and to recognize, oh, there's other ways to show up. You don't have to always be complaining. And again, I am not pretending like everything is fine. And I'm not suggesting that we just adopt some Pollyanna kind of like fake attitude and pretend like everything's fine, or that we cover up how we really feel. Instead, can we be curious? I mean, curiosity is kind of fun. Like, kids have curiosity. They're learning things. Somebody else I was talking to, they're saying how they have a number of young kids, and they're saying like, Mom, why is this blah, blah, blah? What about this? Why? But Mom, why? What about this? They're wanting to understand things and then wanting to know a little bit more, understand it. They have this curiosity. They're trying to discover the world and have the world make sense to them. Sometimes it's cute and adorable and fun, and sometimes it's exhausting for the parents. But also this person was sharing how, like, how fun it is to kind of like see the world through this with this curiosity, this view of why are things the way that they are. So aversion has this very recognizable flavor when you start maybe even looking for it as this tightening, hardening, maybe a no in the body. But curiosity has more of this openness, like, what's happening? What's here? What's behind that? It doesn't mean you suddenly like what's happening. It means you stop fighting reality long enough to maybe learn what's happening, get to know what's happening. And this shift towards curiosity, it can be just really small. It can start just as a minor thing. It can be as small as catching when you're about to say, tss, and then, of course, blah, 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 or saying something like, or, well, here we go again, or, I don't know, there's these different ways in which there can be this aversion that shows up. But instead, you could just ask a question out loud, if it's appropriate, or to yourself, what's really happening right now? What's going on here? What matters to this other person that they think that what they're talking about, or the complaining that they're doing, the complaining that I'm doing, what matters to them? What am I reacting to? Is there something I don't know that's going on here? So some of this curiosity about what's really going on here? Is there something I don't know? What am I reacting to? Is there something in me that feels sensitive about something in particular here? So in this way, curiosity feels like in the body, it feels like maybe a little bit more space, a little bit more openness, maybe not blissful, but just less clenched, less tight. Curiosity, maybe the breath becomes a little bit more easeful. And maybe in the mind has this shift away from judging to looking. This shift from judging to looking. From I already know, I've already decided to let's see. Let's see what's going on here. So sometimes it feels like just this small softening, this maybe a willingness to pause. Maybe it feels like a bit of humility. Maybe I don't have the full picture. Maybe there's a little bit of this shift from some aversion towards curiosity can feel maybe a little more warmth in the heart, maybe a little more softness in the heart. And maybe the tone of the inner voice changes. Maybe aversion is saying, this is ridiculous. And curiosity is saying, that's interesting. Or maybe aversion is saying, they always dot, 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 you know, fill in the blank. And curiosity is saying, I wonder what's behind that. And there is this way that with curiosity, the anger might still be there, the aversion might still be there, the frustration might still be there. But can we aim to not be operating from that aversion, that ill will? Instead, is there a way that we can choose curiosity as a stance, as a posture, as an attitude from which to move? Getting back to that story I told at the beginning, walking in the morning and seeing the dirty dishes in the sink, where the aversion, maybe aversion might say something like, am I the only one who cares? Why am I the only one who cares about this? Why am I the only one who takes care of this? Or do I have to do this all the time? Or whatever it might be. But curiosity might be, what's the story I'm telling? Am I tired? Am I overloaded? What is one just simple next step that can be done? So just a very different way in which approaching or experiencing. Or maybe you have a difficult person who feels like impossible. And there's a way like, I can't just be with this person. They are impossible. They're always going this direction and making me feel this particular way, saying these things or not saying those things or doing these things or not doing those things, whatever it might be. And maybe curiosity experiments with one new angle. Maybe curiosity asks the question, I wonder what they are protecting. I wonder what they are afraid of, or is there something that they're afraid of that's causing them to behave in this way that I'm finding uncomfortable or off-putting or whatever? Or maybe curiosity brings in, what are they needing? It's not that we have to find the answer. It's just a shift in our attitude. It's just recognizing their humanity. So the shift from aversion to curiosity, maybe our even bringing in some of these questions. What are they needing? What are they afraid of? What are they protecting? Or one that I like to bring in, that if I don't know them, if I'm just somebody that I have no relationship with, I just know about, or I sometimes ask, I wonder what their favorite vegetable is. This just makes them human again, instead of this terrible, awful person. Do they like Brussels sprouts? What about eggplant? Of course, right, we don't know the answers to this, but there's just this way that this recognizing that they eat vegetables just like we do. And then this way, so curiosity shifts our relationship to what's happening in a way that from some contraction to some openness, from some sense of, I already know how this is going to end up, to maybe like, oh yeah, let's, maybe things will be a little bit differently. And then this curiosity is a type of freedom. There's this way, it's a freedom from the I already know stance. It's this freedom from being trapped, no longer being trapped in a fixed story. But instead, curiosity allows something new and different to arise. It might be similar to what were expecting, might be similar to what you've seen before, but there also might be something new. But there's no possibility of something new. There's no possibility of moving forward as long as we're kind of like trapped in this story of, oh, I'm the one that always has to do the dishes, or that person is always the one that's complaining, or whatever it might be. So curiosity brings this not knowing mind instead of being trapped and stuck in this knowing mind. Sometimes we think of this not knowing mind as beginner's mind. And in this moment, there's this freedom because we're no longer compelled to maybe defend or attack or rehearse this usual way that we are meeting this moment when we have some aversion. Instead, there's this freedom of, let's see what's going to happen next. We stop building our case. And then another way in which curiosity is a type of freedom is that we have this freedom from this selective attention. When there's aversion, the mind fixates on what it doesn't want, what it does want, and what it fears. And then there's this way in which the mind spins out. But if we have some curiosity, kind of like interrupts this fixation. And instead of, I don't like this, there's, what's happening? What's going on with myself? What's happening here in this moment? Kind of like brings us here into this actual moment. Things that we can actually know and experience, as opposed to like this story, which so often we don't know because the story is about the future. And of course we don't know the future. Of course we don't. Nobody does. So there's this way in which curiosity just doesn't help you understand yourself, understand the situation, maybe understand other people. There's a way in which it changes you. Because when there's more freedom, more room to allow the next thing to unfold, which curiosity allows, There's a way in which maybe aversion is being like being locked in a small room with your irritation, and curiosity is kind of like opening the window and letting some fresh air in. And we don't maybe feel as compelled to respond in the usual way. And so there's this turning point in practice that happens when we start to feel these smaller ways in which there can be more freedom. For example, from going from aversion to curiosity and feeling just a little more openness and ease and freedom that that allows, even though it's just maybe a little bit more freedom. There's this turning point in practice when we start to realize, oh, there's almost always, I would say, unless you have complete freedom, there's always more freedom available. There's always more freedom available. And sometimes we are experiencing it. Sometimes we experience it because we are intentionally making this, maybe the shift from aversion to curiosity. Or maybe there's this way in which it's just arising. We have some ease, maybe with meditation sometimes. There's this feeling of freedom. And once we start to realize, oh, there's less stress, there's more ease, more openness, this maybe a visceral feeling of this absence of stress, this absence of the mind no longer pushing or straining or collapsing or pulling back. Instead, there's just a sense of ease and simplicity. Then the mind and the body just start naturally orienting that direction. Just like it's a habit maybe to always be complaining and seeing everything that's wrong, there's a way there can be just start to be more and more a habit of sensing into the simplicity and ease of the moment, sensing into the freedom of the moment. There's this way we can start just meeting what's here this moment without expectations, without overlaying how things should be, and instead just being with how they are. It doesn't mean it's absolutely pleasant and exactly what we want, but there's this way in which the problemness like drains out of the situation. And we just do what we're doing completely, maybe fully, freely. And there's this sense of ease that arises. And there's this joy and happiness that comes from there. This lightness, this openness. It's maybe this, maybe even like before there's the sun starts to rise, it's completely up in the sky, but there's light that's shining, and there's, sometimes it's beautiful, right? When there's a sunrise. I saw a number of sunrises recently, and sometimes I forget how wonderful it is. But there can be a sense of that, like, oh, there's some lightness, some openness here, with maybe a little bit of delight too. And then as this feeling of freedom or non-aversion starts to become stronger in us and more familiar in it for us, it becomes a reference point. And it just starts to become more and more easier to orient that way. No matter what's happening. Because, right, this is about the inner weather, not about getting all the outer experiences perfectly how we would like to do them. So this becomes a way in which we can live our lives with more ease, more freedom. And we might say these moments of aversion, which feel kind of like this tightness, this inner, for me, I kind of think of it like an inner growl, like, And when I feel that, like the body contracting or this inner growl, sometimes has like a, maybe like a darkness in the mind too, maybe heaviness in the mind, heaviness in the body. I can just do this little shift, like what's happening here? And just that little different orientation can bring in some openness. And this openness can start to open and open more as we start to recognize and trust it, as it starts to become more and more familiar. But first is just this invitation to go from, oh no, not this again, to let's see what's here. Let's see what's here. So I'll close with that. But also with just a deep and sincere wish, as the new year is just a few days from now, may your 2026 be a time of more and more freedom, more and more ease, more and more peace. May there be a way in which your heart and mind are nourished and supported in a way that touches you deeply. I know some of the things that we talk about here, there can be a way it could be glib, like, oh, just go from aversion to curiosity. You'll have some freedom, no problem. See you tomorrow. But there is something that's something beautiful that's really available. And it can start in the midst of our being irritated with how things are. So often we're waiting for things to just be perfect. So may you find things in your life that nourish and support you and enable you to meet some of these difficulties, guaranteed to be difficulties. Nobody's exempt. And can they be a support for more and more freedom and ease in your life? Thank you. And now I'll open it up to see if there's some questions or comments.
Thanks, Diana. When I was thinking about aversion, on Christmas Day, one of my brothers came into the room, and my old habits would be like, oh no. At this time, you know, a little, I was thinking, yeah, I have the impulse to go to the other room. How does that feel? How am I noticing the few other people in the room and the body language? And then a couple times I've felt more compassion for him. That's hard for me to find sometimes, but it's just a little bit. And I am kind of interested to see, because, you know, he's my brother, I've known him forever, you know, how this goes on, how this continues in phone conversations with him. And I've always been trying to find ways, you know, to be with it, but I'm kind of interested. And I did notice when I was feeling it in my body, the aversion, it was like, I want to get out of this room. You know, I want to go to the kitchen where the fun people are. anyway, that's all.
And did you have a sense that things unfolded a little bit differently with your being kind of like just aware of your aversion?
A little more accepting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And especially with family members, because, right, we have a lifelong patterns of being with them. It takes time. Of course, you know this. And it starts exactly like this. Exactly like this. Just noticing. Thank you. Maybe right here next to you.
So I'm wondering, you made a recommendation that curiosity is a good way of approaching these sort of issues. And I've been trying to work with this because last week we talked about REFT and E for allowing, which sounds very much like stop resisting, which is one of the Dharma teacher suggested. And so I ran into some very difficult problems and I tried to use this, so allowing. So I asked myself, what does it mean? So I just said, okay, only thing I can do, ask questions of myself. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? So that I thought was a good tool, but it didn't work for me.
So but I'm sorry.
It didn't work for me, this, mm-hmm. this tool. That's what I think curiosity is, to ask questions about what is happening. And I wonder, is there any other recommendation that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for bringing this up. Well, curiosity, and when you offered the questions, I wouldn't necessarily recommend those questions. What does this mean? This is like, we could just, you know, on 10 different days, you can come up with 10 different ideas. What does it mean? Why is this happening? That often isn't helpful either, because we don't know, or we can, again, make it. It's more the curiosity is more like, what is this? What's happening now? So it's not to figure it out. It's more, the curiosity is more about, let's open to be what's being experienced right now. And like, and sometimes the curiosity could be like, well, what's happening in my body? What is the mind doing? And maybe I offered like, some questions. I wonder, like I asked just, what kind of vegetables do this person like? It's not that I need to know what kind of vegetables. It's just more, it's asking the question that changes our relationship, kind of like humanizes them. But the questions about why or what does it mean, there aren't really answers to these. I mean, I'll just say that. There's so many different answers, but it's the curiosity is about more about what's happening. How does this land for you?
And that putting it that way, does it mean that, okay, what is happening now, feeling it in your body, that's the kind of curiosity?
Yep. Feeling it in your body, or also just noticing what's happening right now, just using the example earlier. Yes, there's this person here, and I have a response to it, but there's other people here in the room. There's other experiences being had. There's completely neutral experiences. My feet are on the ground. Maybe there's people talking. Maybe there's laughter coming from the kitchen where the fun people are. Or so, I don't know. So it's this curiosity is one being what's happening in the body, what's happening right now. But it's also letting go of any idea of how things should be or how we want them to be. So curiosity is maybe a not knowing stance. So it's more an attitude than finding answers. So maybe I should have been more explicit about that. I appreciate your question very much. Mm-hmm. It's not about finding answers. I mean, just because finding answers is, I mean, there's a role for that and a place for that. And it can be enormously helpful, but this practice is more about finding the ease and freedom that's available. And there's a way that finding answers is just a distraction, or it's just a way of avoiding what's actually happening here. Not always, but sometimes it can be. Just offering that. Okay, so thank you, and wishing you all a happy new year. And if you'd like, you're welcome to come up here and talk to me afterwards. Have a happy and safe New Year. So, and safe travels home, and a wonderful rest of the evening. Thank you.